Thank you very much, Vice President of the European Commission. Thank you very much, Maros. I will now invite Secretary General of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, to address us. And I think this is, for us, a great opportunity that by addressing a topic that is usually seen, especially by people like Maros and Jens, as soft, and this is development and development cooperation, that it actually ties in with this hard-boiled topics like energy cooperation and security. So, Mr. Secretary General, it gives me great pleasure.
Thank you so much, Madam President, Prime Minister, Ministers, Excellencies, dear friends. First of all, it's a great pleasure to be here. And there are many reasons for that. One reason is that in my previous life as a Norwegian politician, I worked a lot on development issues and also on issues related to climate change and energy. And therefore, it's nice to be back and to meet the audience, which is very focused on those issues. And then it's easy to believe that my job now is very different from what I did before, because defense security is regarded, as you said, as very hard issues, while development and environment is regarded as something very different and soft. But in reality, there are very close links between the two. Because without security, without peace, it's impossible to create development. And it's impossible to address big international challenges as, for instance, climate change. So for me, there is a very obvious link between the need to create stability, security, peace, and our joint efforts and ability to address other big issues as development and environment. But the link goes both, or the dependence between the two issues goes both ways. It's an interdependence, in the way that security is important for development, but development also contributes to security. So actually, we are addressing the same issues, but from different angles. Environment, climate change, is critical for promoting development and peace and stability. Development is important both for development and for security, and security is important to provide the foundations for development and for addressing climate change. So for me, it's not so strange being Secretary General of NATO and at the same time being invited to address issues related to development and energy and interdependence between the two. Then I have to admit that there is another reason why I appreciate very much to be here. And that is a more private or personal reason. And that is that I spent my childhood summers here in the 1960s. My father worked at the embassy in Belgrade. And we actually drove from Belgrade to Dubrovnik every summer. And we spent 2 days. And that was not because my father was a bad chauffeur, or actually he was, of course, but the roads were also very bad. And we slept somewhere in between Belgrade and Dubrovnik along the road. And then we arrived and we spent our summers not in Dubrovnik, but we spent them in a small village 10 minutes from here called Mali Sauton. And there I learned to swim. I learned to like sladoled. And we had a lot of shivapchiche and punine paprika, and I also learned this ringi ringi yaya dosho chika paya. So I spent my childhood here, and I was back in the 70s. Then I haven't been there since then. But I remember, in a way, the big contrast of my happy summer holidays in Mali Sauton, and then Dubrovnik was the big city. And then being a Norwegian, watching television, reporting from this region, from Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Serbia, Kosovo, reporting about wars, fighting, atrocities in the 1990s. And now it's exactly 20 years since the massacre in Srebrenica. And we also remember that Dubrovnik was bombed. And it's great to be back and to see that now it's like I remember this era in the 1960s and the 70s, peaceful and sunny. No war, no fighting. Of course, many things has changed. We don't have Yugoslavia anymore, but at least it's not a war, it's not fighting. It's development and prosperous societies. And this change from a region which was very much affected by war and violence into a region which still has challenges and problems, at least if we speak about the whole southeast of Europe. But even despite of the challenges, it's very different than what we saw during the 1990s. And this transformation, of course, there are many reasons for this transformation, but one reason is that we had a strong security, military, political alliance, NATO, which for the first time in its history deployed large number of forces, 60,000 troops to Bosnia, and tens of thousands of troops in Kosovo. We still have troops there, but not as many. And we worked together with the European Union, with the OSCE, with the United Nations. And of course, because the people here worked together with us, this region has completely changed. And now two of the countries, Croatia and Slovenia, are full members of the European Union, full members of NATO. And other countries in the region are following and aspiring and working towards the Euro-Atlantic integration. So for me, the development in this part of Europe very much underlines the interlink between security, peace, and development. And we are still working together with the European Union in this region. Different countries, different challenges, and we are still aspiring to integrate more countries into the Euro-Atlantic cooperation, because we believe it's important for the whole Euro-Atlantic area and for, of course, this region. And by the end of the year, by the end of 2015, NATO has to make a decision related to the enlargement of NATO, whether we are going to invite Montenegro to become the next member of our alliance. So NATO is still very present. We are here, and we are working with countries, and we have done so since the 90s to contribute to stability and peace in this region. And Croatia is playing a key role, a lead role, in this Euro-Atlantic integration, and it has been great to visit Croatia today and to discuss with the Prime Minister, the Defense Minister, and of course the President and others, how we can continue and develop our cooperation. Because I think we have to understand that NATO and also this region is facing a completely changed security environment. To the south, we see turmoil, violence in Syria, Iraq, North Africa. We see terrorist attacks taking place in our own streets, often inspired by the violence in the Middle East, North Africa. And then we see to the east a more assertive Russia, willing to use military force to change borders, to annex a part of another country for the first time since the Second World War. So therefore, we have to adapt. And we are adapting, partly by increasing the readiness, the preparedness of our forces. We are implementing the biggest reinforcement of our collective defense since the end of the Cold War. And we are doing so as an alliance, and we work with partners in this region, but also, for instance, Sweden and Finland in the north, to make this adaptation and to be ready to face a new security environment. But at the same time, we are underlining that we don't seek confrontation with Russia, and we will not be dragged into a new arms race. On the contrary, we believe that a strong, predictable policy, strong defense, creates the foundation for a political dialogue also with Russia. And we still strive for that. When it comes to the challenges to the south, Iraq, Syria, the Middle East, North Africa, it's close. It's affecting us in different ways. There we have to, I think, draw on the lessons we learned from Southeast Europe, even if it's very different. But we learned some lessons, and that is that we have to sometimes be able to deploy forces. We did so in Bosnia-Herzegovina, and that was key. We did so in Kosovo. And we are again ready to deploy forces to manage crisis outside of the NATO area. And all NATO allies participate in one way or another in the fight against ISIL. But we also learned another lesson, and that was the importance of building institutions, reforming, increasing capacity in the countries themselves so they can take more responsibility for their own security. So the idea of being able to project stability without always deploying large number of our own troops is something which is very high on the NATO agenda now. And that's the reason why we are working with countries like Jordan, like Tunis. We are in the process of also agreeing with the government of Iraq to help them build their capacity to stabilize their own countries. But because in the long run, that will always be a better solution if countries can take responsibility for their own security without us, NATO, being forced to deploy forces. I have also promised to be brief, so I will just end by two or three very brief reflections. And that is that I will leave it to you to discuss environment and development and energy, because that's not my, as I say, primary responsibility. But I will at least say or tell you, despite of that, I will say a few things. And one thing is that when I was Prime Minister, Mr. Erik Solheim, who's sitting there, he was the Minister for both development and environment. And that was a great success. He was the most expensive minister I ever had. And he got a lot of money, and he spent them well. So now he's working with development in the OECD. But I think that very much linked the environment agenda with the development agenda. I think that's a very close and important link. The other obvious link is, of course, to the energy agenda. And there's much to say, and Erik Solheim can explain all that tomorrow. But I would just underline the importance of that it has to be a price on pollution. And it has to be much more expensive than today. That will both decrease emissions, because if you price pollution, it gets profitable to reduce emissions and profitable to develop new and more environmentally friendly technologies. And in addition, you can generate revenue, so you can spend on, for instance, health or development or whatever you want to spend them on. So that's the advice I have on energy and environment. The advice I have on development is to focus on the basic needs. We focused a lot on maternal health, child mortality, the Millennium Development Goals. And I remember we launched the campaigns together with, for instance, the Gates Foundation on immunizing children. It's extremely cost effective. We paid per child immunized. And I think basic education, basic health, is the keys for promoting development. And it's straightforward, and it yields a lot of results. But my main message today is that NATO is not a development organization. We are a military and political alliance, but what we do provide security, peace, is critical and of great importance both for development and for the environment. Thank you.